Father in heaven, we come to you again, and we thank you, Lord, for the songs that have been sung this morning, and we thank you for the topic. I realize in this day, somebody says it's a depressing topic, Lord, but for the child of God, it's not depressing. We have a promise, and we understand in this hour, dear Father, what is needed for us in the spiritual life. Understand what people need as they pass their journey in time. I pray, Father, this day, that this subject would recess in our heart, the Holy Spirit could use it, nothing would be distracting, and we'd begin to center my eyes towards heaven to know that's where our help comes from because of our Heavenly Father. And through Jesus Christ, we can know Him personally. Thank you for that Holy Spirit for introducing Him to us years ago. May this be the day that the Holy Spirit could introduce the Lord Jesus to someone here on these premises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible, if you will, and be turning to Luke chapter 16. I started a series of study last week, a three-part series. Last week, we looked at the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And the main title of the message was the fact that it's appointed to a man once to die. And then it says, after this. And the subject last week was after this in verse 27. As it's appointed unto man once to die, after this. In other words, there's an appointment we call death, and after that appointment's death, there is another appointment, and it says the judgment. Now, today, I want to go to the book of Luke, and I want to read down in chapter 16 of the Gospel of Luke, and you know this certainly by reference, if not by heart. I'm going to read, let's read the first verse 19 down. Well, we're going to have to read the whole thing, I guess, to get it in, and then we'll try to finish up. This is part two this morning. Next week will be part three, the last part. And here we're talking about death. And now the subject today, what is death? Last week, after this, the appointment was death. After this death, which is our appointment, which no one asked for that. We don't make it ourselves. If we did, we wouldn't make it. As one person said, I sure like to know where I'm going to die. And the person said, why? He said, well, for that, I wouldn't show up there. There's no way in the world you can get out of it. We're going to find ourselves. This appointment's made for us. But after that appointment, there's another appointment that we have a choice in. That's the judgment. And when we talk about that judgment, now we're talking about those in Christ Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, we're going to meet at the being a seat of Christ or the judgment seat. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 through 15, he shows how the child of God will be standing at the judgment seat of Christ, be judged not according to their evil deeds, because the blood of Christ paid for that, but because of how we served him. And then we see also in Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15, the great white throne judgment, where in turn all the unsaved that would have died and gone to a place of departed spirits, we know as Hades, and we'll look at this here and see the apartment of that, which is hell in our English language, and also over in the Old Testament, in the judgment of chapter 20 of Revelation, he tells us that death, hell, and the grave is going to give up their dead. They're going to be judged. That's the unsaved going to be judged and be cast into the lake of fire. Well, I want to look at what is death today. And let's look at this quickly and get through, hopefully, by 1 o'clock anyhow. Amen. So here he said, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fare sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate, full of sores. Now, when I read that, in my mind, we're talking about two people. Two people here, two entirely different from each other. And yet, the destiny they went to and why they went there. And desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell upon the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked the sores, that is, Lazarus. And then, verse 22, watch. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Watch that now. The beggar died, that's Lazarus, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That's very interesting because you're going to see how God even gives divine provisions for us at the time of death. But watch, it says, and then he says, the rich man also died and was buried. That's all it says right now. But instead of picking up where Lazarus at now, we pick up where the rich man's at. And by the way, it isn't that this man's rich is itself. So some people say, well, rich people can't go to heaven. Yes, they can, because Jesus Christ is the difference. But here he's showing us the contrast. I'm glad he showed us that you could be the least person in this world and Jesus will save them if they'll trust him. And that's what he's saying here, that you don't have to have clout and don't have to have, prestige to be saved. you can be anywhere in the spectrum of man, and feel by faith, trust Christ as Savior, be saved. But then he says, it was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, been in torment. We talk about now the rich man. He just calls him that. He's seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now watch what begins to take place. He didn't have any time for God while he was alive. But now watch. And he said, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his tongue, or tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which pass from hence to you, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, watch this, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they will repent and watch. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And when he's talking about here, the power of this message is in the truth of what the gospel is, and not in the miracle of being raised from the dead. He's saying one can be raised from the dead, and it'd be a spectacular, and he may do a lot of things to you. The odds are it won't do anything about being saved, other than you begin to think, I need to do something I won't know to do. We know what to do because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so what is death? I want to take a look at a few minutes this morning. Some people say that we're living in the land of the living. But did you know, ladies and gentlemen, in reality, into eternity, we're living in the land of the dead, and those that are dying, and the land of the living is beyond this life. We're going to the land of the living, because over there it's going to be lived forever. Eternity is too long for us to be concerned about life in time only. And so God teaches us forcefully. It is here that where we have time to prepare to meet him. Amos chapter 4, verse 12 says, prepare ye to meet thy God, O Israel. And by the way, that statement is true for anyone other than Israel, because there's no way in the world we can get to heaven without preparing, and we cannot prepare ourselves. We have to let God prepare for us and accept what he says about that. Now, years ago, you think about what has happened in our particular day about death and funerals and things like that. But you know, years ago, when I was a boy coming along, people that died, most of the time, you didn't have funeral homes like you have. You got funeral homes, but you didn't have chapels and things like that. They took the body to the funeral home, they prepared it, and then they took it to the home and stayed, and then you either went to the church or maybe a graveside and had the funeral at that time. But when I look at funerals, used to be crude compared to today. I mean, the dead were put into a wooden box and lowered in a 6-foot hole that deep for bearer and said a few words over, and that's about it. But today, we have a beautiful place where employed experts create a tasteful presentation of the deceased body. And they do, and I'm not against that, because I think we need to show our honor and respect to those who live in bodies when death comes. But it also ought to be a time to make us realize, hey, they're not the only one going to die. I mean, God has said it's appointed to man wants to die. So they're in a beautiful place. And here, I mean, they're in a box that looks so beautiful, and they're in a presentation of that body that has died and going back to the dust. But a makeup artist a lot of times makes you look better sometimes you did when you're alive. And so they try to ease the pain of death. Do you know that? They try to ease that pain of death and take it away in turn, when sometimes the pain of death, as we look at it, should do something for us to help us realize, hey, we need to prepare to meet God. And that's what pain does at times. The cast is no longer a wooden box, but it's a polished bronze bed-like container with cushions, like it's going to help the dead body, where people come just to see you from miles around, and they stand in long lines just to honor you. The only problem is you're not there. Just the shell that you was in. Here, the preacher speaks about what you were and what you have done in your life. And when the ceremony is over, you get to ride in a limousine, probably rode in one for your life. You're not even there to enjoy that one. And here, the first time, you go down a street where police have stopped traffic for you while you run through the red lights. Never do that before without getting a ticket. And while cars pull over to the roadside just so you could pass by, or at least your body pass by, they honor you that way. Then you pull into the cemetery to the gravesite, and instead of a crude rope to lower the body down 6 foot in the hole, they use silver tongue wrenches, and it does it automatically. Oh, yes, it is elegant, it's beautiful, it's impressive, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I'm not against that because I believe that's a good way to show we love our loved ones, to do what we don't mean, how elaborate it is, but that we do these things. But I want you to know this, what I'm trying to get across, that when all is said and done, dead is still dead. Amen. And therefore, ladies and gentlemen, something hadn't happened while you're in time to meet God. What an awful thought when you think about this time. Unless Jesus comes, we all are going to die. We all may try to soften the impact of death, but it's going to come just as sure and I are born physically. And we may say such things, oh my, he passed away. Or is it amazing he's put to rest, or she's resting now. They're in no more pain. And thank God we can say those things because they are in no more pain as far as the physical body is concerned. But I'll tell you, without Christ, they've not seen anything yet. And if people say, well, preachers have to preach a message. No, God gave this message in the gospel. And he gives us that information to actually preach it. Two things about death. Death is the separation from God. We already looked at that. As far as spiritual death is concerned, and that's forever for those who are lost when they have physical death. Spiritual death actually makes us separated from God, so when physical death comes, then we'll separate from God forever. But for the child of God to be born again is to be in the presence of God when physical death comes. That is to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. So there are three things about death in Luke chapter 16. And that's what I want to look at in a few minutes. Notice the first thing is this. Number one, death is sure. Now you say, I don't need the Bible for that. Oh, yes, but it's understandable to understand what the Bible says. There's two men lived and two men die. There's 7 billion people face on the earth today living, 7 billion people face on the earth to go die unless the rapture takes place. So it's a fact, folks, and God wants us to look at facts, not be deceived about what things are. Isn't it an amazing thing that we know for people down through the years, for 6,000 years have been dying, we've been burying them, and yet today still people die, and God is still giving us the question, preparing to meet God, and how many people preparing to meet God? We have got other answers today, haven't we? We've come up with solutions, we think, of our own. There are three things about death in Luke chapter 16. The first one is surely this, death is sure. In verse 22, notice it said, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Yet the rich man also died and was buried. These verses indicate that the dead, I want you to know this, notice this. These verses indicate that those who die know their fate immediately. Then somewhere they go and wait to see if they're going to end up somewhere or another. The moment that one dies from this physical body, they know their fate. Once they enter into that spiritual world where God gave us his life, when he blew into man the breath of life and man became a living soul, they know instantly their fate right then. If a person born again, he's in the presence of God. If a person not born again, he's in a place here until God removes this in Revelation and in turn casts those into hell or to the lake of fire. So if the facts are here, these facts should be looked at rather than ridiculed as far as life is concerned. So both men died. Now, we may not be looking for death, but death itself will find you and me till Jesus comes. We all die by appointment, Hebrews 9:27. We all may be late for a lot of things, but none of us will ever be late for death. We'll be here. It's coming, and there's no use to try to do away with it. It's not something we ought to be worried about unless we're not saved. And yet we know how close are we to death? One heartbeat. I've said it hundreds of times in the years that I've been here preaching from the pulpit of Fellowship Baptist Church. We think, for instance, that old age determines death. But wait a minute, in reality, you can die at any age. I buried people from all the way from being birthed to up to about 80-something years old, and some into 90 years old since I've been in the ministry and been doing the work for the Lord for 57 years. And what I'm saying to you, it doesn't matter if you're 30 or 110 years old when you die, both are dead. It doesn't matter if you're one month old or 15 years old when you die, you're dead. You say, preach, that's pretty plain. Death is plain, folks. We can beauty it up all we want to, but when it comes down, death is more than the beauty we see on the horizon that we try to kind of tone it down a little bit so we think it's not as bad. Only way death is not bad is when you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Everything else is warned by that. So I read where there's a man, the story was told, it said a man went to the pearly gates, and Peter asked him, "So what good thing have you done that you may be able to enter into this place called heaven?" He said, "Sir, I want you to know." He said, "I saw a gang of thugs attacking a young lady in a parking lot of a grocery store." And he said, "I intervened with her and stood up for her." And Peter said, "How long ago was that?" He said, "About 60 seconds ago." So you can do something good, can't you? And find out death could be around the corner. So first of all, know death is sure. The second thing, what is death? That's the title subject. Many people speculate about death. You hear it all the time. You ever heard someone say, "Well, you know, I believe we reincarnated." Oh, where do you get that at? Some religious organization that teaches that. But on the other hand, reincarnation means one comes back as something else. Maybe a monkey, a cow, or a humpback camel or something. I don't know. But when you look at the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, Luke chapter 16, and here we just read these verses, deny that. You look at it in even Romans chapter 9, verse 27, for the man wants to die, but after this, the judgment denies that. Where do you find in reincarnation in that? There's no space or time to be awaiting to see whether you're going one way or the other. You either decide it before you draw your last breath, or it's already decided. We are born into this world in the nature of Adam. It is doomed and damned until God gives us a new nature, and that comes through the new birth. Then there's purgatory. A purgatory is a place between dying and judgment. In other words, you have to do something to earn your way out, or someone has to pay a penalty for you to get out of purgatory. These verses disprove that. These verses tell us that immediately. This, when you see these people die, one thing, the angels took Lazarus to Abraham's bosom. The other man who died said he died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his voice. He didn't have no time between those. He found himself where he was at immediately when he drew his last breath in this body, physical body. Hebrews 9:27 also denies this. Some people say, "Well, annihilation. What is that?" That means, well, that's it. When I die, that's all it is. So nothing after this life. I just live my life. I'm glad I did. And then after this life. But here, when you talk about annihilation, time was all that your life had, they say. But again, when I look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and he talks about after death, when we die, and then suddenly there's a body waiting for us, and somehow or another, God doesn't go into detail about it, that we will not be floating around with no sense of activity or nothing, and then we'll come back with him, and then he tells us there's going to be a rapture taking place, but on the other hand, he tells us why we're in the body, we're absent from the Lord. But when we're absent from the body, he says we're present with the Lord, and you see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you look down about verse 6 through 9. So what am I saying? It doesn't matter if you're talking about reincarnation or purgatory or annihilation or anything else in life. God's people have revelation for us. God has revelation for his people. We are not to speculate. Now, I'll be honest with you, folks. If you begin to talk about reincarnation, purgatory, and annihilation complete, that's speculation. That's all there is to it. You say, "But somebody's got the document. Who wrote it, though?" I believe this is the only book that God inspired to be written word for word. Everything else made by man. I've written some books, and God inspired me to write, but he didn't inspire every word. There's a subject I got studied and I wrote and asked God to bless that. This book is every word is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. So we can take it at his depth to know that it's true and what God is going to do at that time. So death means the separation of something. In so many words, God said to Adam and Eve, if you go back to the book of Genesis chapter 2, he said, "Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you do, you will surely die the day you eat of it." It's written plain. If you look in Genesis 2, verse 17. So the first kind of death is spiritual death. Somebody said, "Well, isn't that an amazing thing? He did it, didn't he?" Yes, he sure did. Well, he didn't die physically. Oh, yes, he did. It was just 900-something years later. Because I don't know how old he took of that tree, but he died. Adam died 930. He lived to be 930 years old. Now, I don't know how much life he had before he took a tree. He was some time in there. But I'm telling you, he didn't die physically right then. So God is setting us by Adam living years after that, and he lived to be 930 years old. He's telling us and showing us something for those who want to know, something else took place. In other words, the life that God gave him, where God could talk and commune with him, when he sinned against God, that one sin, God cut himself off from Adam, and therefore that process started physical death in time. Spiritually, he was cut off from God. And God had to do something for him before he could come back and have a relationship with God. We know he did that starting with animal sacrifice and until Jesus Christ came. So it means separation. And we see so the first kind of death is a spiritual death. Spiritual death means that when God cut himself off, he died spiritually. That is, God had nothing to do with Adam in the sense of spiritual death, because God is a spirit, Jesus said in John chapter 4, I believe it is. He is a spirit. Therefore, those relationships has to be a spiritual relationship. And we get later see that we have a spirit that God gave us as far as individual. We have a spirit, soul, and body. And that spirit now is dead when we come into this world. That is, it's cut off from God until God quickens it and wakes it alive again through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here, the first kind is spiritual death. Spiritual death is spiritual separation from God. Genesis 3, verse 8 through 13. A physical dead person's mouth is dead to human language. Would you not say amen to that? If we had a corpse laying here today, you could talk to it all you want to physically, and it's not going to respond. It means it's cut off from the world it was in. It has no interaction no more. That individual spirit and soul that was in that body, that actually lived there as long as the body operated like God set it up, has gone. He has no interaction with us whatsoever. Whatever we may say to it, it can't hear a thing at all. If you've got anything to say to loved ones, say it before they die, for they'll never hear you say it after that. In a physical body. And so I say, physical deaf person's mouth is dead to human language. That is interaction. Well, a spiritual dead person can no longer hear or feel the voice of God's Holy Spirit. Why? For communication from God is cut off until it's made alive again in Jesus Christ. Boy, that's a wonderful thing to have this book, because that's the only way we know that. You don't hear this in the world. The second kind of death, of course, is physical. The soul and the spirit is separated from the body. And even though we see that Adam sinned and God cut off from him and did not come back till he came looking him and killed a lamb and did something to the innocent, took the place of the guilt so he could have a relationship with him until Jesus Christ could come to pay the sin debt. And so Adam lived 930 years and he died. You also see that Enos lived 905 years, and the Bible said, and he died. You see Methuselah, the oldest man that's ever lived, 969 years, but he did die. Why? God did keep his word. Because he's cut off spiritually, he had no life to keep him moving until God could do something for him to give him life that will last for eternity with him. You've got to have a change to meet and live with him. Without Christ, there can be no change. Now, I grant you the day in this world, there's a lot that will argue that, but you can't argue. Listen, anybody, child of God, if you go soul winning, when you use this book to show the Word of God, to people the Word of God, that there's no change can be made in the heart of a person without the gospel of Christ, which is the good news that tells about Jesus Christ was our Lamb who came and died and was buried and rose again the third day, and therefore God accepted his blood in heaven, and that blood can take away any sin who will trust Jesus Christ as Savior, as an individual. But without that, we have no hope. And so the soul is separated. Now, the soul is your mind, your will, and your conscience. Your body is the house and the temple that you live in during this time. But the world focuses on the body. But God's word teaches he focuses on our soul and spirit to be quickened in time, that we would work towards the spiritual life in believers. That life that we have, we work now to serve him, according to James, using that life, which is God's life in us that made us new creatures in Christ Jesus. And now as we walk in time, our attitude to serve him until God gets us out of this place of service. But then when I look at this, I'm so grateful. What is death? Sometimes one may look very good in life and not look so good in death. But sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, one may look good in the body and you get to know them. Did you know character can destroy looks to an individual? How many times, you know, you heard me tell. I've seen, and I just say it off the top of my head, I've seen real nice-looking young ladies going with a real nice-looking young man. And they end up not marrying the nice-looking young man, but marrying somebody looked like worse than homemade soap. And you wonder why. Character. There's something underneath. Do you know the Bible tells us about that? If you look in 1 Peter, Peter talks about this as God gives him information to us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, He says this in verse 3. He talks about the lady here, but he said, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning, a plant of the hair and wearing a gold and putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden. It doesn't mean you couldn't dress the barn up a little bit. But he is talking about, you go so far, that attraction. Then people look at that and say, well, you ought not do that. Listen, what he's telling us, you never should put anything on your body that sidetracks you other than what would be pleasing to God. That's all he said. And by the way, I thank God Almighty. In fact, I buy my wife, if she wants to, for anything she wants to put on, as long as it's not too much. And I'll let some of you fellas do the same thing. Now, I'm just saying this. When it comes to the place of the heart, you can't put too much. If you do, then you move the beauty. Beauty is within. A lady should have beauty if you don't have any type of thing on for the public. That should be. And then the other just is a pleasant look, a pleasant way to look at something. And that's what Peter says. He said, let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God of great price. By the way, and that's as much for a man as it is for a woman as far as the hidden part. That's right. That love that we're in turn we have, that whereas should show as like the hidden man, that his heart which is not, that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of meek and quiet spirit, which is the sight of God, a great price. And when anytime we don't have that, of course, we have to work on that in the physical life. So death, ladies and gentlemen, is amazing. The character can destroy one's look. First Peter tells us that. But death is like an air removed from a balloon by a puncture. Here the air is gone, the balloon is left, and just a piece of rubber that has no meaning whatsoever. The life principle is air has escaped from the balloon in a balloon that's blown up. Well, the life principle of us is air has ceased to function in our bodies when death comes. God blew into Adam the breath of life, and he became a living soul. For our bodies, it is our breath that has stopped, and that means the heart has quit beating, and therefore we draw our last breath. Did you know that you will never be at your funeral? That shocked you. You say, preacher, you reckon I know about it? I'm sure you know about it because you won't be here. You'll be in heaven. If you're saved, you're not. I don't want to be where you're going. Amen? Amen? Because when you leave the body, when your death comes, the body can't hold us any longer. The body is made to hold the life that God put into it through procreation, and that's through natural birth. And so we see the shell will disintegrate back to the dust when you die from which you came. So what is death? It's sure. And what is death? It is physical death that comes because of spiritual death being cut off God. Number three, quickly, is this. What is eternal death then? No end of life. Eternal death is just separated from God forever if you're not saved and he has a destiny for it. Or being united with God forever to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, he has a destiny for the saved person. There are only two choices in life, heaven or hell, with Christ or without Christ. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, in verse 14, he says, angels are sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. That helps me understand what happened when, in Luke 16, it says when Abraham died, notice again, he said, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Isn't that a wonderful thought, ladies and gentlemen? Angels took Abraham to Abraham's bosom. You say, well, wait a minute, what about today? I'm going to tell you something today. Jesus now has risen from the dead. He's paid the sin debt. Amen. And somehow or another, he walks us through that. He's there to meet us. He's there to help us out. Therefore, he is the one that we probably, many times you hear people who die in the Lord and they have anything to say. They see a face they think is Jesus. And I think he's there. He's not. He said, I'll never leave you forsaken. So they tell me, praise God, he's not going to leave me when I draw my last breath. Didn't he say that? For the child of God, he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And certainly when we go through death, he's not going to do that. That's for sure. Again, the place of rest was a divine provision for here, this Abraham. The rich man died, and the Bible says he was buried. But notice something. He could recognize, he could see, he could feel, he could talk. Wait a minute, he's not in his body no more. He's out of his body in this place of departed spirit to that time before Jesus changed it when he rose from the dead. Notice something, ladies and gentlemen. He could see and recognize and feel. In fact, he could boss people around. Look in verse 24. He says, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. He didn't say, you know, will you please do it? He's demanding that he do this. And of course, Christ tells him, well, he can't do that because of obvious reason at this time. Death cannot be avoided until Jesus Christ come. Here we see something about this. Notice there is no Alzheimer's in hell or the place of departed spirits. In this case, in the Greek, it's called Hades. Not at all. I mean, send Lazarus. First thing, in torment. Send Lazarus. Man, it's amazing. He's in the place of horrified situation in hell. And yet he's crying across to send Lazarus to help him out. Interesting, isn't it? Then he gets no help from there. Notice in hell they are very religious here, because he didn't just say Abraham, he said Father Abraham. I don't know if he ever even thought about that when he had a body, a flesh. Father Abraham, please send him. He calls him Father. Father Abraham, verse 24, Father Abraham, verse 30, and even verse 27, he called him Father. Doing no good because he's not his father here. But he has that language. Notice, when you die, the issue of eternal life is fixed here for you, not for somebody else. Death cannot be avoided until Jesus comes. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 through 10. Read it, some don't have time. In Philippians 1, verse 21, the Bible said, Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. While working on this message, the thought came to my mind. Ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. There is no gain if you are stuffed in a body, in your body, in a coffin somewhere. There's no gain for you if you're still there. Does that shock you? You know, when you draw your last breath and we put you in a body, if we were there still in that grave, sleeping like some savior there, there's no gain. Paul said, listen carefully, read it, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. There's no gain in laying in a coffin somewhere or another for years to be raised. The body's there, but it's going back to the dust. And we go to be with the Lord. You know, Stephen cried, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit, Acts 7:59. That means he said, when I draw my last breath, Lord, receive my spirit. He's not looking to be in a wooden box or even a ground without a box for so many years before Jesus comes back. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4:13, we are made as the filth of this world, the Bible tells us. That is, the world makes us the filth of this world. But here he remembers something. And God changes things. In Romans chapter 8, we'll be looking at it on Wednesday night, but on Romans chapter 8, if you look down a few verses, you'll find that this is chapter 8, verse 18, and I'm landing. Look in verse 18. Paul said, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in heaven in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. God is saying, in this life we may be treated worse than filth itself. And that's what 1 Corinthians 4:13 says. We are made as the filth of this world, Paul said. Sometimes in the eyes of the world, they will not even have a Christian around them, especially those who are doing their evil deeds. But here, he's letting us know that in Jesus Christ, there is a tremendous thing. Things have turned around. What did he say? He said, Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. It's reversed now. Aren't you glad Jesus tells this story? If you're serving God, folks, you're facing some things sometimes you don't like to face. You've talked about sometimes, you're cussed sometimes when you ought not to be cussed. You're finding some pressure. By the way, Satan hadn't changed in this day anymore than did the first century when Jesus was here. And what you're finding is pressure that comes from there, and God is letting us know, listen, you may have to face some things in this life, but I don't want you to know, I care for you, I'll never leave you, I'll be there with you, I'll work things out with you, for you, but listen, don't, just keep in mind, Paul said, we're made as filth of this flesh when we try to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ like we should. And that's what God tells us about here. Thank God for this precious book. And again, you see, if a person is saved, hell, listen to me, if a person is saved, hell in this life is the only life of torment that a believer will ever experience. But if you're not saved, heaven is in this life is the only life of pleasure that a sinner will ever experience. Amazing. Two destinies and yet opposite of each other when it comes to the end. So it doesn't matter how clever you are or how wealthy we are or how many important people we know. It doesn't matter what our IQ is and so forth. Everybody dies. So I want to encourage you here by radio, listen to this in a few minutes, by upstream right now, this listen. I want to encourage you to prepare to meet God like God told Amos to tell the children of Israel. It's for the whole human race. Why? Because he's offered salvation for the lost. Why? Because we, you and I who have been saved, can yield ourselves to the Savior if we're saved and serve him. We have no choice of our appointment of death, but we do have a choice of our destiny. We have a choice about where we will go. In Christ, we'll be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. Outside of Christ is to find ourselves waking up in the pit of hell. And somebody says, well, that's just horrible. Ladies and gentlemen, it's called Hades in the New Testament, which is the Greek word for, when you read the word hell here in Luke 16, the Greek word is Hades, which is the only word close to that is hell, our English word hell. Why? There is a Hades, a place of the departed spirit, but there's a lower chamber of that where's fire, and that's the torment place. The upper chamber is where Abraham's bosom. And that's where Jesus went to lead captive out and led them out of Abraham's bosom now to be in the presence of God, according to the epistles of Paul. So we look at the dialogue between Abraham and the rich man in this life. And when I look at that, it amazes me, and I'm going to pick some of this up next week. But what he says is this. Someone said, well, I wish someone would come from the dead and tell me, ladies and gentlemen, according to this verse, it won't happen. If they come tell you, it won't do anything. Why? What did he say? My reading, I'm through. And he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, after he saw he couldn't get no help. He's still talking. There, you send. He said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Send Abraham to my father's house. He said, I've got five brethren that he may testify of them, lest they also come to this awful place or this place of torment. It's amazing. He didn't think about that while he was alive, but when he died, now where he's at, he said, don't let him come here. Don't let him come here. Send somebody to go back. Abraham, send somebody back to him. Tell him about this place. By the way, there's people in hell right today he's telling that to do, and they can't do it. Asking the same request, but they can't do it. Why? Jesus tells us why. And he said, nay, go back. Abraham said to the rich man, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Now, Jesus is telling the story, and I believe this is an actual event. And he said, Abraham said, let them hear Moses and the prophets. And then the rich man said, hey, nay, Lord, nay, Father Abraham. But if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. I just know if you'll send someone back from the dead, I know they'll listen. Tell them I sent you. Tell them I asked you to go. I don't want to come here. He said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now, he had to say that because all they had in that testament, now it would be today. If you hear not the messages I've left for my people to give in the Gospels, they won't listen to me. The one from the dead. What he said, that the miracle of the resurrection is not powerful enough to get someone to be saved. It might show someone they need to, but not make them get saved. It's the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that brings about this wonderful invitation. With Jesus standing with arms open, come unto me, all you heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Isn't it wonderful to know that you and I can't do a thing to please God in the flesh until we receive Jesus Christ as Savior? And when we do that, then he says, I'll move in. I'll give you my spirit. You'll be born into the family of God. And therefore, when the day comes, you draw your last breath. When the day comes, you draw your last breath. When the day comes, you draw your last breath. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I had no choice of the first birth. I have no choice about this nature, where it's going in my own energy. But isn't it wonderful, God is a merciful God, that he gave me a choice about the second birth? And he said there's two destinies. You came into this world, your mother's womb, you end up in the first place where there's torment. But if you trust Jesus Christ as Savior, when you leave this world, then you will change the destiny to live with me forever. That's called eternal life. Would you stand to your feet, please? Our Heavenly Father, I thank you again for the patience of these people. Dear Father, help us understand in this series to give us information. Lord, this is for information us in this life. This subject is not depressing for those who are saved. Dear Father, help us see that. This is not depression for those that are saved, but it's a warning for the unsaved, for the child of God. It is a joy to know that since we trust Christ, that we may not have understood it at the time, the new life that God gives us is the very life that God has to live with Him forever. Though we had a beginning, He did not. But He gave us part of His life, or gave us life that He had to live after we had a beginning with Him the rest of eternity, because He has eternal life. Help someone today in this audience, or help someone in the other churches. Help someone, Lord, by the radio in a few minutes, just heard back on WHBY. Help someone, Lord, who's by you strength today to see they had no choice about the first birth they came into this world, but they got a choice for the second birth. Since they came into this world, they have no choice about death, because it's appointed a man once to die. But after this, the judgment. They have a choice about that judgment. I'm glad, Lord, you're a merciful God. I didn't have a choice about my physical birth, nor did I have a choice about death, because it's in me when I was born. But God loved us so much, He made a way that when death comes, the child of God's been born again, is going to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. And when that happens, Lord, one day, all of this we see now will be gone to remember no more. Father, I've done what I could do. Holy Spirit, please use the message. Not to necessarily scare anyone. That's not what it's about. Lord knows we ain't preached about hell in a long time. But now, the 3 Sundays in a row, we've been talking about this. Please open the eyes of son, and open the eyes of all when it comes to service to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.